from the New Testament back to the Old Testament. We're going to be in 1 Samuel 3 this morning. 1 Samuel 3 is going to be on page 227 if you're using that Bible that's in the pew in front of you. If you don't own a Bible, take that one. That'll be our gift to you. We just want you reading God's Word. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about hurdles. We've been talking about how sometimes as people are trying to move toward Jesus, trying to be the people that Jesus wants us to become, at times that there can be hurdles that get in the pathway of that race or of that walk or of people trying to move toward Jesus. Now, the last thing that we need in our lives is something in our pathway if we're trying to run hard after God, if we're trying to move toward God, if we're trying to align our life with Jesus. We don't need something that's in our path that we have to hop over, jump over, hurdle over. It's just so much easier if we cannot have any kind of obstacles that are unnecessarily in our way. And most of us know, I mean, when we look at this hurdle, we're kind of sitting here going, oh yeah, that's you put that in a lane when you're running in a track meet or a race, right? I mean, anybody in here ever been to a track meet? Raise your hand way up high. Anybody seen one on TV? Raise it up high. Yeah, you've seen races where there's hurdles that are right there. Now, for our purposes, during the past couple of weeks and in this series that we're wrapping up today, we've talked about a hurdle, and we've defined hurdles like this. A hurdle is any unnecessary obstacle that is in a person's path who is trying to move toward Jesus. Whether they're running real fast and real hard, or whether they're just kind of at a slow walk, and maybe they don't even realize that they're moving toward Jesus. They just realize they're trying to move somewhere and towards something that's positive, something that's good, and it's Jesus that's drawing them. But a hurdle is just anything that's in that person's pathway that's unnecessary. It's an obstacle in the path of people who are trying to move toward Jesus. And we talked about how sometimes it's the church or it's tradition that tends to put hurdles in front of people who are trying to move toward Jesus. We talked about this the first week in this series about how Jesus' brother, his name was James, he stands up in the first church business meeting that we're aware of that's recorded over in Acts 15 in verse 19. Jesus' brother James says this: "It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it what?" Oh, come on, say better than that. We shouldn't make it difficult for Gentiles who are turning to God. And we just kind of let that verse just kind of marinate in our lives over the last couple of weeks. And I've just been thinking, I've been praying, not only for a couple of weeks, but for a couple of months, just going, God, would you show me, would you show me any hurdles that may be in our church? God, would you show the church at large as we're walking through this series together? Are there some hurdles that maybe knowingly or unknowingly have been put in the path of people who are trying to move towards Jesus? Stuff that's just not really necessary, but somehow has gotten put there. Maybe it got put there several years ago or a couple of decades ago, and it really served a purpose at one point, but over time, it's just kind of become a hindrance more than a help. And so, God, is there something in the pathway that we might need to begin to remove? Because we don't want to just do things the same way because we've always done things that way if they're no longer effective and if they're not necessary to help people move towards Jesus. And so we talked about that. And then we talked last week about sometimes it's not tradition or the church. Sometimes it's just circumstances in life that get in the way. And a hurdle gets put in front of people who are trying to move toward Jesus. And how we talked last week about how sometimes you just got to get resourceful in the midst of the race whenever you come upon a hurdle that may be blocking or obstructing the lane. And we talked last week about four friends from Mark chapter 2 who were trying to move their friend who really had some physical needs and move him into close proximity with Jesus. And in Mark 2, we talked about six different hurdles. And man, they were just all over the place. It was just circumstances of their situation on that day. I mean, the crowds were gathered there and they were trying to get their friend to Jesus and they couldn't even get through the door. So they carried him up on the roof and that was a pretty big hurdle. And then they got up there and they didn't have a skylight up there that they could just kind of remove. They just had to do some quick demo work and just demolition the top of the roof. And then they had to figure out how to lower their friend who couldn't walk right in front of Jesus. And we just looked at those hurdles of circumstances. And sometimes there's just some circumstances that are unnecessarily in the pathway of helping our friends move toward Jesus. And we just need to figure out how can we help remove those hurdles. And my goal in this series has not so much been to point out what all the hurdles might be in our church. My goal in this series has been to help us establish a common vocabulary word so that we can begin a long conversation into the future about who it is that God wants us to be as Arapahoe Road and what kind of church he wants us to become. And I believe God wants us to be a part of creating a church that unchurched people, that we just have a heart for those unchurched people. Creating a church that just has a heart for unchurched people, whether they're in our community or whether they're in a community on the other side of the world and they've never heard the name of Jesus. And today, I want us to look at one last different kind of hurdle. It's not a hurdle that the church or tradition put in the way. It's not necessarily a circumstance of our surroundings that's a hurdle that might be impeding people coming toward Jesus. Because you see, sometimes when a person is moving toward Jesus, whether they're already a follower of Jesus or they're still thinking about becoming a follower of Jesus and they're moving down that path, sometimes the reason that a hurdle is in a person's path or in our path even is not because somebody else put it there or circumstances put it there. It may be because we put it there. We put it there ourselves. We put it in the path and we're trying to move toward Jesus, but maybe there's some times in our life that we put this hurdle there and we need somebody to help us move it out of the way. And some of you, I can just tell by the way you're looking at me, you're going, what are you talking about? What does this hurdle look like? Well, it may not be what the hurdle looks like. It may be what the hurdle sounds like. You know, what are you talking about? I was over at the children's building a couple of weeks ago, just walking through the halls, talking with little kids and teachers, trying to encourage them, poking my head in there. And I walked into this one class, you know, just kind of in the hall, and the teacher was trying to get their attention, and they had kind of already started, so I wasn't going to interrupt. I was just kind of observing there. And she said these words or something very close to him. She said, "I want you to listen to me with your ears and your eyes." Yeah, there's some moms just going, yeah, I say that to my kid all the time. I say that to my spouse all the time. And so what I was hearing that teacher say, that room full of little kids, was I want you to pay attention because I'm fixing to communicate something to you that I want you to go do. I don't want you just to hear it. I want you to listen and then do it. Sometimes we have this hurdle of hearing but not really listening, don't we? Yeah, right now, I'm already seeing some elbows going right here. Any wives have husbands who you think don't hear you? They kind of hear, they just don't listen. Any in here, you don't have to raise your hand, yeah? Yeah, yeah, because I get accused of that all the time. I keep trying to convince Allison that I really just don't hear. Well, I'm getting older. And, you know, too many concerts when I was younger, and she just keeps telling me that she thinks I have selective hearing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some several heads going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Anybody else in here think their spouse has selective hearing? Don't raise your hand. Oh, got you right here. Sorry, Craig. You just got outed. See, sometimes when it comes to following God, being a person moving toward Jesus, I wonder if we run into this hurdle of selective hearing. hearing. I believe this. I believe that there are people in this room this morning who have heard God speaking to them in their life at some point. They're sitting in this room. You're looking at me and I'm looking at you right now. There are people in this room who have heard God speak to you at some point. Maybe not in an audible voice, but there's something inside your heart and you're remembering it right now. When your heart just began to beat fast and you knew that is God trying to talk to me. Jesus has been trying to communicate with me. You've had those moments. I mean, I had a conversation this summer with 15 of our students. Some of you are sitting in this room. We were at Glorieta, New Mexico, and you sat in a room and talked with me about how you think that 15 of you, that God's been talking to you and moving your heart towards either missions or ministry that goes beyond just the natural whoop and wharf of your life, that you just are feeling like, man, God's want me to do something on that front. God's been speaking to you. He's been speaking to you. Maybe Jesus has been speaking to you saying, hey, you've heard enough information. It's time for you to follow me. Maybe some of you, Jesus has just been talking to you about confessing that habit, talking through that addiction, not to make any more excuses, but just to deal with it once and for all and to get some help this day. There's others of you, maybe Jesus just been telling you to share your faith with that friend or that coworker, that family member that's coming to your house this Thanksgiving. Maybe Jesus has been saying something like this: you've been wallowing in this mire long enough. It's time for you to build a bridge and get over it and allow some forgiveness to take place in your life. It's time to move on. I want to make you whole. I want to heal you. Let's leave the past behind and move forward. Maybe that's in your marriage. And you're here, but there's something that's rocky this morning inside your home. And you know it. And you know, even as I mention that, your heart's starting to beat fast going, God, what do you want me to do? And Jesus is saying, do not give up. And don't get bitter. It's time for you to get better. And I don't know what that looks like for you, but maybe we need to have a conversation. Maybe you need to save the date. Maybe you need to take out a pen right now and write down February 8th and 9th. You go, what's happening February 8th and 9th? We're having our second annual marriage retreat, or as Phil has said, we're not retreating in our marriages. We're going to advance in our marriage. So we're going to have a marriage advance on February the 8th and 9th. And some of you are thinking, I need to give that to you, and you need to give that to me for our Christmas this year. How much is it going to cost? I don't know. We're still working the details out. Just save the date and know that it's coming. You'll be able to sign up soon. Maybe it's not that we have a hurdle of hearing, but our hurdle is that we hear, we just haven't been obedient. I mean, I kind of heard you, kind of know what you want, but now it's executing. It's a hurdle of obedience, and we're just not moving past that thing that we know God's been talking to us about. Maybe it was in our series that we just came out of, The Green Elephant, and you heard very clearly God talk to you about you need to begin to be obedient in giving and in tithing and entrusting me with the resources that I've entrusted to you. And you're sitting there going, yes, God, I hear you. But Friday's Black Friday, God. And God, there are 36 shopping days left until Christmas. God, I know you want me to do that. I know you've talked to me about that. And come January, it's going to start. And God's just reminding me that delayed obedience is disobedience. And he reminds me that others of you, it may be following him in baptism, and you've been thinking, man, I'm following him, but you've never publicly made that known. And that first step of obedience for a follower of Jesus is to align yourself with him in such a way that you let everybody know it. And so maybe for you, it's being baptized and saying, I'm going to be obedient in that. Can I give you a great date to circle? How about December the 23rd when all your family's together? We'll have a special time of baptism in both of our morning services that day. It'll be a great time. There's your conversation around the Thanksgiving table on Thursday. Hey, I want you to be a part when I align my life with Christ in such a way that I let everybody know. I don't know what it is for you, but you heard, and now it's just about being obedient. Just about being obedient. So look with me at this passage in 1 Samuel 3. It's a story of a young boy named Samuel. He could be sitting right over here with the youth group. And God just begins to talk to him. And he begins to hear the voice of God. But he's kind of confused about what to do. In this story, Samuel, he's probably about 12 years old, maybe 13. And he's not yet a follower of the Lord in a sense. He's just growing up in church because that's where his mom keeps bringing him and where his mom wanted him to be. And God starts talking to him while he's there. Mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, keep your kids in church. Get your grandkids in church. Because when you put your kids in an environment where God's word is spoken, God just may start talking to your kid. He may just start talking to your grandkid. Do whatever it takes to put your kids or your grandkids in close proximity to God's word. Always remember that. No matter how young you are or how old you are, God wants to communicate with you. It may not be. It probably won't be with an audible voice or with an audible word. I know that God has already said some things in his word that he wants to say to you. Louis Giglio once said this, the people who hear God's voice the most are the ones who know his word the best. That's worth writing down. That actually may be in your table talks. The little question on the little sheet that you were handed. Man, you might just want to talk through, what does that really mean? The people who hear God's voice the most are the ones who know his word the best. God always wants to speak to those who are willing to listen to him through his word, through the Bible. It may be that God speaks to you through life circumstances, and it may be that you begin to have a theme that's just emerging in your life that keeps reoccurring in your life. That may be God nudging you towards you want him want you to do something. Maybe you've got friends in your life who keep saying things to you, and God's using your friends and he's using your family members to speak words of life into your life. Are you listening? Maybe sometimes when you're in church, your heart starts beating fast and you're going, is that Pastor David just talking real fast and me trying to keep up with my own pulse? Or is every time that Pastor David starts talking and he starts preaching God's word, maybe that's the Holy Spirit beginning to beat inside your heart going, listen, I'm trying to communicate with you. However God may choose, he wants to communicate with you. He wants to communicate with me. And look how God communicates with Samuel here in verse 1 and following. 1 Samuel 3 says, now the young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. And at that time, Eli was the priest. He was kind of the head guy, the head priest here in this story, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see. He was lying down in his own place, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel. We're going to see four times the Lord calls out to Samuel. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, here I am, Samuel says. And he runs to Eli. And he said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I didn't call you. Go lie down again. And so he went and lay back down. Verse 6, and the Lord called again, Samuel. Samuel rose. He went back to Eli. And he said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I didn't call my son. Go lie down again. Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again, a third time. And he rose, and he went to Eli, and he said, here I am, you called me. And then Eli perceived something. He perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went, and he laid down in his place, and the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. I love that story. I love it for so many different reasons. One of the reasons that I love it is because Samuel responded. He responded when he heard the voice of God calling. Even though he wasn't real sure what all was going on there, he just knew somebody was trying to talk to him. Somebody was trying to communicate it with him. And I love it that Samuel had a soft heart toward the one who was in authority over him. And he was ready to listen and obey. That's a great characteristic of a servant of God. Just having a soft heart, a listening ear, ready to be obedient immediately. Can we just stop here for a real brief second and have a quick reality check? If you're sitting here going, man, I really want God to speak to me, but students, you're not listening to your mom and dad or listening to those who are in authority over you, what makes you think you're ready to listen to God who also has authority over you? See, if you don't have a soft heart toward your parents, what makes you think you have a soft heart toward God? Maybe we need to ask God to break our hearts. Any parents in here going to amen that? Yeah? Okay. Don't say it too loud because I'm fixing to punch you in the face, okay? See, parents, if you think you're ready to listen to God and yet you're not having a soft heart towards authority or accountability in your life, what makes you think you're ready to submit your own life to the Lord? I mean, if you can't submit to your boss or to your landlord or there's no accountability there with your spouse, if you've got a hard heart with those, you see where that's going, don't you? Maybe we also need to say, Lord, would you break my heart? See, I believe God is looking for humble people with soft hearts ready to respond with urgency and obedience. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. That's probably what Allison would love for me to say. Speak, Allison, your servant is listening. In other words, I'm listening with my eyes and my ears both. And Samuel was listening both with his eyes and his ears. How about you? Has God been talking to you lately? See, there's some people in our church that God's been talking to. He's been speaking to people who are trying to follow Jesus. And I'm going to ask Phil Porter to come and just share a few stories and to introduce some people in our church who've been trying to walk toward Jesus and listen with their eyes and their ears. Phil, would you come up and would you help me just to welcome Phil Porter to our service this morning?
It's green. There we go. All right. Anyway, just excited about this morning and all that God is doing. And I wanted to share with you a little bit about one of the ways we're hoping to hear from the Lord and have obedient hearts. And we're calling that strategic mission partnerships. I want that just to become some language that we use. And so as in every good plan or program, you know, you have a good acronym. So the acronym for strategic mission partnership is SMP. We're going to have SMPs focused on several different areas of ministry. And the basic ingredients of a strategic mission partnership are that we have a leader within our church who is a SMP leader. And so that's the person that God has called out of our church with a specific ministry focus. And the other side of that equation is that we've got a partner in the field. So let's say, for example, there's a certain people group in a certain country that we want to work with. The Lord would have to raise up a leader within our church that would be focused on that ministry, and we would have to have a partner in the field that is focused on that same ministry. And that gives us the basic structure for having a strategic mission partnership, an ability for us from here in Garland, Texas, at Arapahoe Road Baptist Church to have a ministry among that people. Now, this morning, we're going to introduce and launch 5 new strategic mission partnerships, 5 new SMPs. And I want you to get to know the leaders and a few of the field partners that were available. We're going to do that initially using our video screen. So just take a look at the screen. We're going to introduce the five SMPs, and then we'll have those folks come up and you can greet them.
Hello, this is Chris Simmons, and I'm pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church in South Dallas. And we want to thank Arapahoe Baptist Church and Pastor David for all that you have done to assist us in Cornerstone and making a difference in the South Dallas Fair Park community in this year, in 2012. And we're certainly looking forward to working with you in the future as we make a difference for the kingdom's sake.
Hi, my name is Frank Rodriguez. I'm thanking God for Arapahoe Baptist Church and Pastor David for supporting us. Thanking God for your guys' impact on our community and church also. First of all, our life in the community and the churches that we already got. We've been through five churches and plus a training pastor leaders seminar that we're about to start in January. You're not only supporting our ministry as a family, but also carrying out our mission to start churches all over the South.
Good morning, Pastor David and Arapahoe Road. This is Deesa McEwen, principal at Hickman Elementary, wanting to thank you all for your dedication and your partnership with our school. Thank you for providing lunches to our teachers, for coming to volunteer your time to read with our students, for the various ways in which you help around our school and our community. We appreciate your time and your effort, and we look forward to the continued partnership in the future. Thank you again.
Greetings to Arapahoe Baptist Church and Pastor David. My name is Ray Cotton with International Students Incorporated. My wife Lori and I minister to international students at the University of Texas at Dallas. We're really looking forward to working with Sam and Melissa in helping your church reach out and touch the lives of international students with the love of Christ. Up to 70% of international students in this country never see the inside of an American home. And they are so appreciative of having an American friend. And so it's a fun ministry, and I'm excited about what God is going to do in helping and working alongside your church in reaching international students for Jesus Christ.
Hello, I'm Kyle Hootnan, and I have worked for Mission Partisan in Honduras for the last 12 years. Over the last 9 years, I've had the chance to work with David Bragg as a doctor in our work with the people of Honduras. This past spring, I had the chance to meet Minister David Rogers as he accompanied Dr. David Bragg and visited Predison and our work in Honduras. In those discussions, we got really excited as we talked about how we could work together to show God's love to Honduras and to extend the work that we do every day. So as we come into 2013, we're just very excited about Arapahoe Road's opportunity to come visit us, to work with Predison and their staff as they... So Arapahoe Road, we look forward to building upon what God has started, and we hope to...
Thank me. Will you join me in thanking these folks and thanking the Lord for what he's doing to help us be on the move with him? I want to introduce these partner SMP leaders to you. This is Sam and Melissa Lee and Thong, and they'll be leading our work with international students, hosting of international students, initially from UT Dallas, but wherever the Lord leads us to be involved in. They've got their field partner with them, Brother Ray Cotton, and we appreciate Ray being here to be with you guys. Thank them for joining us. This is Bobby Brown, one of our deacons, and he's going to be leading our partners, our SMP for Local Mercy Ministries. Bobby, you got some friends here with you this morning? Introduce them to us.
Oh, yes. It's exciting times. That's just a little bit of words, but we have several people here from Cornerstone, and we have Dennis Gant, raise your hand. He's over Trinity Restoration Program. And with the Trinity Restoration Program is Richie Robertson. And then Richard Smith. I want to call him Chico. Everybody calls him Chico. And just to brag about that community, Dennis mentored Richie and Chico, and now they're back into society. And Chico is building a 10,000 square foot new feeding complex for Cornerstone Ministry. And then you have Suzanne Trahan and her son Tony, and they're involved in after-school children program that's meeting their needs and ministering to them. And another praise for the Lord is yesterday they baptized 6 students from that ministry.
Thank you, Bobby. This is David Bragg. He's helping us launch a new partnership with Honduras and Predison Organization. You saw his field partner, Kyle Hootenin, that's going to be working with us through the organization Predison. David's hard at work planning a trip for us over spring break there to launch that partnership. And then we've got Sandy Wisnett is leading an SMP for the Dominican Republic, a ministry that we've had a relationship with for years, working there with Pastor Franklin Rodriguez. And I haven't met him yet, but I'm looking forward to that. And we appreciate Sandy's leadership in helping us in the Dominican Republic. And then we've got Jane Ching and Cindy Bragg, our SMP leaders for the work we're doing with Hickman Elementary School. You've got a guest here. Would you please?
Yes, it's an honor. This is an amazing teacher, and she leads everything, helps us at Hickman. This is Rosemary Himes. Amen. Well, did you introduce?
Thank you. And then I'd like to introduce you to this SMP leader. Now, y'all think I've stepped over the edge. You know, I do a lot of research and look at different studies, and there's lots of different lists out there. I don't know the final numbers, but I know there are 117 to 150 million people in our world today who have absolutely no access to the gospel. No missionary, no church, no Bible in their language. That's in 2012. We've known about this for over 2,000 years, church. There's that many people. There's another 2 billion people in our world today that we would consider unreached, that have no sustainable reproductive expression of the gospel in their culture. There may be a couple of missionaries there. They may have portions of the Bible, but they don't have churches in their own language that can reach their peoples with the gospel. There's a lot of people in our world today who have no access to the gospel. So this stool is going to represent for us this morning the future SMPs that we have in our church as we pray and ask the Lord to show us where in the world, Lord, would you help us to press back the darkness and help see the gospel made known to some unreached people groups. So maybe those SMP leaders are somebody, one of you guys out there in the congregation. Maybe it's somebody that hasn't even come to our church yet. We don't know who they are, but we want to pray for them also. Let's greet this group again and give them expression of thanks for being here with us. I'm going to give you a chance to pray. I'm going to give you a chance to pray for them in just a minute, but if we can make a little path there and let Pastor David out, I'm going to ask him to commission and to give this group a charge as they go out in their ministry and work.
Yeah, thank you so much for being a part of what God's doing in the kingdom, and whether that's in our own backyard or whether that's in a foreign country. Thank you. Thank you for being willing to step out, to serve, to model what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus and to invite people to join you in what he's doing. I greatly appreciate it. This is the kind of thing that I think God had in mind when he gave his life at Calvary and said, man, I want people to know me. And one of the ways that they'll know me is by the love that my people and my followers express in very tangible ways. And so thank you for helping us do that. Thank you for blessing people. Again, whether they're in our own community or in the community on the other side of the world, we're greatly appreciative for each one of you. This is a part, I believe, of what it's going to look like to become a church that has a heart for unchurched people and unreached people. It's meeting them at their point of need. And so thank you for helping us launch out into these strategic mission partnerships. And church, I hope that God's beaten inside your heart and he's speaking to you about a place where you might could serve too and potentially be a strategic mission partner in another area, either in our city or in our state or in our nation or in our world. And God's going to raise it up and God's going to send us out. And that's what he's been doing since this thing called the church began. He's been raising people up and sending people out to meet people at their point of need and to share the gospel with them. So I think, Phil, you're going to allow us some opportunity to pray for these people. Why don't you give us some instructions on what that's going to look like?
You guys just hang on just a second. Okay, gang, what I want you guys to do is take each one of you, you've got a partner with you, and go out right now into one of these five aisles and just go to the middle of the aisle in each of the five aisles. Dave, go take one of these aisles. Bobby, take your group. Jane, Cindy, thanks, guys. I'm going to put this stool right down front. Church, what I want you to do is be real nimble right now, okay? You got to stand up. Everybody stand up. If you are identified with one of these partners already, if you've been on a trip to the Dominican, if you've helped at Hickman, if you've been down to Cornerstone, I want you to, when I say go, I want you to go gather around these people. If not, just go find somebody to gather around, lay hands on, or lay hands on the person in front of you, and then I want you to pray. And I'm also put the stool here. I'd like to ask a group of you to come around this stool. It's not goofy. Lay your hand on it and pray for those people who have no access to the gospel. And when I say go, go do that and just start praying. As soon as you get there, you can pray out loud or pray in your heart, however you want. And after we've prayed for a few minutes and commission our partnership, Steve Runnels, the chairman of our Missions Action Committee, is going to close us with a pastoral prayer. Okay, go.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we can just gather. We can gather in different groups, Lord, and I lift up each group. I thank you, Lord, for the work that's going on right now at Hickman Elementary and the relationships we're building there and the students and the teachers that we're touching, Lord. And I thank you for every person that participates there. And Lord, I thank you for Cornerstone and Bobby and leading men and women over there, helping them to use their time and their talents to reach a group of people that are not right here in our community, but a few miles away. And Lord, I thank you for the international students that we're going to be able to work with, and UTD and the representatives there with Melissa and Sam. And Lord, I pray that as we start this with them, that we will honor you and invite students in and build relationships and show them who we are as Americans, but much more than that who we are as a Christian family. And Lord, thank you for David Bragg and what he's been doing in Honduras as he's able to use his gifts of being a doctor and working and healing and leading people and teaching them who Christ is in his life. And I thank you for the relationship that we're going to be building here with Prednison, and that we will be able to bond with them and work through them and let them lead us. Lord, thank you for the years that we've served in the Dominican Republic. And Sandy Wisnett and her leadership that she has shown. And Lord, I thank you for the friendships that we have built with Pastor Franklin and the people that you have changed lives. And Lord, thank you for everything that's going on there. And Lord, the empty stool that's sitting here, you have people in mind that you want to serve. And I pray that right now that you'll be moving in their hearts. Maybe they're not at this church. Maybe they are at this church. That you'll start working with them, leading them. Let them be open. Let them be able to hear and see what you would have us do. Lord, thank you for this church, the vision that the leaders have cast upon us. May we see that vision. May we do that vision, that we will always honor you. Lord, I thank you for your son. It's in his name we pray.